Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
As we welcome in James Sam.
What is this guy doing on a Tuesday night? Searching his name.
James, the conversation all day has been centered on Giannis Antetokounmpo and where he can play and what teams are interested. There are rumors Atlanta's interested. We've put together scenarios for the San Antonio Spurs. We put together scenarios for the New York Knicks. Shams is reporting more on exactly where this breakup emulated from. And James, I'll ask you, because I think you were the first one to point, this could go either direction as it pertains to the trade deadline, or I guess the trade deadline is a long way away, but as it pertains to December 15th trades being made around the league, everything could be halted until the Bucks decide what's happening here. Or it could speed up the process because we might be dumbed down to just a handful of teams in the Giannis Antetokounmpo sweepstakes.
Oh, yeah. This thing could go in a bunch of different directions. Like, I think that there are going to be plenty of teams. Because, like, look, the Sacramento Kings, we've already heard over the last couple of weeks that that there's interest from the Milwaukee Bucks and a guy like Zach LaVine. I'm hearing that the Knicks might be interested in one of the Kings guards. So like these are things that like, sure, they could happen today. You could make a trade or you could wait until December 15th when, you know, some of these players can be moved. They can't be moved currently, but there's also a possibility that the Knicks sit back and say, hey, we have to put everything on hold. We have to put everything on hold because we might get Giannis. And like, maybe we can tie you into that deal. Maybe we can figure something out. But until that's like, we've taken it as far as it can go, we've got to focus on that. And we've got to make sure that we have our assets ready for that transaction specifically. And that, you know, again, that could be like, do you think Zach LaVine is going to go to the Milwaukee Bucks if Giannis Antetokounmpo is not there? The Zach ties sound like something where you're trying to give Giannis someone else to play with, right? Someone else that can help him. That's what that feels like. It does not feel like a move that the Bucks are making for their post Giannis life. And so like, look, I think that this can tie up a whole bunch of stuff. And that's just the Kings. Like that's one team that we know of that has ties to it, that I know, like has ties to at least two of these other teams that might be involved. And so now what does the rest of the league do? How are they all getting, you know, sort of their ducks in a row? And can you be part of a much larger transaction that maybe one of those teams does need a guy like Zach LaVine to make the money work. Maybe they need a guy like DeMar DeRozan to make the money work, because that's where it gets super complicated, right? And I'd also add, the Kings did something really sneaky at the right at the beginning of free agency. And so they ended up doing a sign and trade for Dennis Schroeder, right? And if we remember back to that date, the reason why they did the sign and trade for Dennis Schroeder was because they had the expiring trade exception from Kevin Huerter, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of using the mid-level exception, which is 14 point whatever million bucks, they used this trade exception. The trade exception expires after a year from the trade. The mid-level exception doesn't expire until the trade deadline. So again, it's a way in which the Kings could potentially get involved into a trade where, again, like, this is all weird moving pieces all over the place, but the Kings can trade a mid-level exception to a team for a $14 million player that goes somewhere else. And so basically they're trading a salary slot. So there are ways in which you can get involved in these deals because you have something like the mid-level still. Now, the Kings can't go out and just sign somebody using the mid-level. They can't trade and bring someone into the mid-level because they're hard capped at the first apron. But that doesn't mean that they can't make another move that clears up a bunch of cap space, and then all of a sudden they have this mid-level to use as part of a bigger trade. So again, like, trades in the NBA are super, super complex. And when you throw in the aprons and this whole idea that you have to trade dollar for dollar and all that stuff, it becomes even more complicated. And so there's a possibility here that, you know, maybe a team like the Knicks, they need to clear up cap space in order to get below the one of the aprons in order to make the Giannis Antetokounmpo trade. Because they're already above the second apron, or they're approaching the second apron and they're hard capped. Well, they can still make a trade to take back less money and get themselves lower, and then, you know, work other trades. So this is where it gets super, super crazy and weird, and why multi-team trades sometimes are the only path forward. Mm. And sometimes they're too complex to figure out, and you just like throw your hands up and go, okay, we can't do this deal.
Very, very funny moment last night on Twitter, as there's a guy in Michigan who, for the last couple of days, I don't know if he's a reporter, or I don't know who he is. He doesn't seem like a random, but I don't know if he's connected. He's been talking about how the Kings and the Pistons have been discussing a trade in recent, like in the last week. And somebody might have asked him, they said, hey, Dennis Schroeder may be going back to Detroit. And he goes, currently actively being discussed. So Jill adds, asks the question, she quote tweets him and she says, correct me if I'm wrong, but because it was a sign and trade, doesn't that mean he can't be traded back there for a year unless the third team is traded for him first? If he signed as a free agent, that's different, but it wasn't. Is there some loophole we aren't aware of? And the guy responds back to Jill and says, IDK.
Oh, great. Nice. Sit your ass down, man.
I bring that up.
You got Jill ads running laps around you. Boy, sit down.
I bring that up to ask you, James, is it possible for the Pistons and the Kings to work on a trade involving Dennis Schroeder because of how he was acquired over the summer?
I'm almost positive that the answer is no. They cannot reacquire Dennis Schroeder for 1 year. Mm. Yeah. So, like, from what I know, that is not a possibility. Mm. Now, I can dive deeper into it and make sure there isn't some weird little thing, but I'm pretty sure there's not. Like, but that doesn't mean that Detroit and Sacramento can't discuss a trade on another guy that they had interest in, mm-hmm. like a year and a half ago, in Malik Monk. I mean, but I think Schroeder is off the table for that specific team. You know, the league puts in these weird rules all over the place. We talked about it earlier. Me and Kyle did on the Insiders, the Zydrunas Ilgauskas rule, where you can't trade a player to a team and then he gets waived and then you sign him back. Mm-hmm. So they closed that loophole because that was a way that, you know, a team like the Cavs during the Mike Brown era in Cleveland was trying to get around. They were trying to circumvent the cap. They wanted to make a trade, but they also wanted to get Zydrunas Ilgauskas back. They had to use Zydrunas Ilgauskas to make the trade, which they did. The other team waived Zydrunas Ilgauskas, and then they were able to re-sign him. And then the NBA said, nope, we're not doing that anymore. And they closed that loophole. So yeah, there are ways in which you can manipulate the cap and stuff, but there are also just clear cut rules where people have tried to circumvent the cap in the past, and the NBA ends up closing those loopholes. And I do believe that the Dennis Schroeder thing is one of those loopholes.
James, this start of this season is kind of all over the place. Like, obviously the Kings are a disaster, and the only team rivaling them might be the Los Angeles Clippers. And they're the other team that were in the news today with the Chris Paul situation. But you've also got the Pelicans falling like in the garbage disposal of the last 2 days of the news cycle, is that Giannis is out for like 3 weeks again. Or not Giannis, Zion. Zion is out 3 weeks. And, you know, you start looking at the Pelicans and some of those bizarre things that they have done. Do you think, you know, after such a very strange and abnormal offseason, that the start of this season and the way some of these teams are performing, particularly ones with draft capital issues, opens up this trade deadline a lot more?
Yeah, I think that there are a bunch of teams that are looking around and like, man, we're bad. Like, how do we get better? And, you know, I wrote in the rundown this morning, can you get better just by getting like three bad teams together and have them switch players? Not all of the players, because then you're just switching players and having them in a different location. But if a player isn't working in one place and another player isn't working in his place, but there's a possibility that those players might work if they were traded for each other, then you should be exploring that, shouldn't you? I'm just going to point this out. Like, early on, we're already hearing, like, I'll tell you, three teams. We're hearing this rando in Detroit talking about the Kings and the Pistons. We're hearing a little murmur out of New York about, like, maybe some interest in Dennis Schroeder with the Knicks. And we've heard during this offseason about Zion Williamson and, you know, a potential, would he fit with the Kings? And would that make sense, right? And what are the things that tie these three cities together, or these four cities together?
Scott Perry.
And so, again, Scott Perry was the GM of the Knicks. He was an executive in Detroit for years, and he was an executive in Detroit with Joe Dumars, who's running the Pelicans. So when we start seeing these things, you have to ask two questions. Are other people making the same ties? The same conclusions that I'm making right now, and saying, oh, well, maybe this would happen because they have because Scott Perry's in Sacramento and he has ties to these guys. Or is that a real thing? Or are the Kings and these three teams like having conversations about things because they have like very close relationships? And that's how a lot of trades work in you know, the league. I mean, think back to how many times the Kings and the Houston Rockets have made trades. Think back to all the times that the Kings and the Portland Trailblazers made trades. Like, it's usually you make trades with people in the league that you're familiar with and people that you trust. And so that's why you see a lot of these things go down like this, because multiple trades happen with teams because they feel comfortable with each other. They already know what each of them want. You had a deal, you know, a year ago that you might have worked on. And in that deal, the team told you that they were really interested in one of your players. That player wasn't included in that trade. But fast forward a year, maybe that player is in a different place with your organization and you want to go out and make a trade for that player. So again, like, this is, trades are really complicated. Sometimes they take a year, sometimes they take a year and a half. Sometimes, you know, again, you start working on a trade during one of the sneaky things in the league is the G League showcase, where a whole bunch of the executives show up to the G League showcase and hang out together. And next thing you know, that's where deals are spawned, where the first idea of a potential trade starts to be formed. And then 6 months later, or 3 months later, 2 months later, you get the deal done. But it's usually that face-to-face contact that you actually have a better chance of getting something done.
I was just going to ask both of you guys, do you think kind of like allegedly free agency goes, they might know now what the summer of 2026 is going to look like. Do you think trades work that way for the most part? And I'm not saying they do. I'm just saying the framework of a Kings-Knicks deal might be done by right now. But obviously they got to work to the wait to the 15th. And is it, if it's not done, it's like 85% complete and they're working on a Dylan Cardwell type guy. Like, is that usually how things go with trades? Like, or is it, hey, it's December 15th. This is the first time I talked to you. Let's work on something. Like,
I don't think it's that.
Yeah.
James probably know better. I don't think it's that though.
Yeah. Very, very rarely is it like, you know, what was it? Is it the Philadelphia Eagles GM that just like, when he's got a stack of draft picks, he'll just call around like, hey, would you take second round pick for AJ Brown? And Tennessee goes, you know what? We will. He goes, oh, okay. Let's do the deal. Like, you're like, wait, what? What just happened? I think that there are deals like that, but I also like, you got to remember that there's only a couple of teams in the league that are cap teams, right? That have actual true cap space. Those teams, I think this year, it's Brooklyn, and I think there's one other team that was able to clear up space at the last second, and they have cap space as well, right?
Utah, that team?
Maybe it's Utah, but I don't think so. I think there's one other team in the league, and I can't remember who they have, like who it is that has cap space. But the point is that every team in the league is called that team and tried to work out, or at least has the parameters of what they're looking for in a salary dump situation.
Brooklyn's another team that has a lot of cap space.
Yeah, it's Brooklyn and someone else.
I think it's Utah, right? I think those are the only two.
Oh, maybe it is Utah. Yeah, so everyone in the league.
Danny Ainge sucks.
That's
yeah,
well, how you capped out.
Even if
that?
It is, Danny Ainge still sucks.
Yeah, Danny Ainge always has his options open. That's what Danny Ainge is. Yep. He's a guy that, you know, like.
That should be on his tombstone.
Danny's
options to like come back from the dead are still open. Like, he hasn't decided what he's going to do yet.
Yeah, it's like, hey, are you dating her? Like, no, we're just hanging out. We're kind of talking. It's like, oh, and then another girl, she's like, are you dating her? Like, no, we're just kind of, you know, we talk every once in a while. It's like, what about that girl over there at the bar that keeps looking at you? You know, I bought her a drink last week. You know, it's like, that's Danny Ainge in a nutshell. You're like, dude, you got a lot of, like.
And now all these women hate you.
Yeah, you got, exactly, yeah. What is it? You got whatever in the fire. You got a lot of, like, irons in the fire. There we go. Yeah, he's always working, but people know that. And he's always looking for the best deal. And so you're always kind of like, all right. It's just bad to deal with him because he ends up dragging it out. And not only that, but he also plays a media game. So that's the other thing. Yeah. Like, how many times have we heard that Harrison Barnes was getting traded to the Boston Celtics and when Danny Ainge was there?
Yeah.
Like, it was like every single, like every 3 months, every time there's a trade deadline or a summer. It sounds like things are getting close with the Celtics and the Kings for Harrison Barnes. It's like,
you know,
Danny Ainge just kept telling people that,
you know what funniest part about that whole thing was about Harrison in the Celtics. Brad Stevens, the coach of the Boston Celtics, did not want Harrison Barnes. Made that very loud and clear in the organization that Harrison Barnes is not the player that we need for this team. But everyone knows that the leak about Harrison Barnes and the Celtics kept coming from Danny Ainge.
Doesn't make any sense, you know? Like, but you see it all the time. I mean, it's like, how many times is John Collins attached to the Kings? I know when he was in Atlanta, he almost got traded to the Kings. I know that last year, the Jazz and the Kings discussed, you know, John Collins coming to Sacramento again. Mike Brown allegedly didn't want John Collins on the roster. But again, if you're
I don't think Mike was alone in his defense, but it was his staff. I don't think his staff liked John Collins. Him and his staff did not like John Collins.
Well, and there's so, you know why? Because their assistant coaches in the NBA have worked everywhere, and they all have ties to each other. So they all, like, they use, like, their little network to figure out whether you would a player would work for your team or a different team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's plenty of assistant coaches that were in Atlanta or at some point were in Utah with John Collins who have had conversations with coaches that are here or that are friends with coaches that are here in Sacramento. And they all have this little network where they have conversations. Like there's all kinds of those networks, just so people know, where, you know, I get phone calls about specific players in Sacramento. Like, what do you think about this player? Like, what do you mean? What do I think? What's your question? And it's like, well, is he a good dude? It's like, yeah, he's a good dude. Like, is there a problem there? Like, no problem that I've heard. But then other players are like, all right. I mean, at your own peril. Mm. Like, because it's on me to be as honest as possible because that's what I'm expecting back from them. And so we have conversations. And that's kind of the way it goes around the league. It's a very, very, very small league, but also there are way more ways to get information than you think. So
when all is said and done, I mean, and given the, you know, the news we have today and the names we already know out there, what would you consider like let me start with this question. This is probably a more appropriate question. Is the pressure on Scott Perry this trade deadline? Like, do you think there's a decent amount of pressure on him given how bad this season has started, given his one main free agency move has not turned out very well? Is there a little extra pressure there?
I think it's not about that. It's about that this team is beyond broken.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who is in charge of this team and who has autonomy from what he says and from what everyone around the team says, that Scott Perry has autonomy to do whatever he needs to do to make this team better, whether that means taking a step back and moving forward, that puts some pressure on you, because what you don't want to do is have the brokenness become like who you are as a franchise. Like, you need to figure out what's broke and you need to figure out how to get rid of what's broke as soon as possible. You need to, like, again, like, I don't know if the Clippers did right or did wrong here, but waving Chris Paul to them felt like a way to stop some of the noise behind the scenes. And so they did it. And in Sacramento, it's a lot more complicated than that, because you can't just, like, a guy with a 3-year contract and we're past the deadline for stretch provisioning people. You can't just waive somebody with a whole bunch of money on their contract and think that you're going to be okay. Like, you know, pushing money down the road is not good business. Like, the key to, you know, maintaining a good balance sheet is to try to trade away players, not buy them out. But, you know, like, look at the Suns. The Suns are going to pay $20 million a year off their salary cap for 5 years for Bradley Beal. Like, that's not good business. Mm-hmm. It wasn't good business to sign him, but, like, look, if there's nowhere for him to go, then I guess that's your best option. But that's kind of where the Kings are. I don't see them taking, like, that same route with Zach LaVine right now. And I certainly don't see them doing that this summer, because this summer he's a $49 million expiring contract. You might be able to get a couple of players for Zach LaVine this summer. And that might not be what Zach wants to hear. It might not be what the Kings really want to do. But at the end of the day, that might be the most prudent thing to do, is just say, hey, look, sorry it's not working out here, but this summer we'll try to find you a new home. And, you know, hopefully that works out for us and it works out for you. But, you know, maybe you take back two $25 million players that have 3 years left on their deals, but just aren't the right fit for the team that someone else is building. And maybe that helps you rebuild faster. Or maybe you do buy him out this summer and say, hey, we'll pay you $15 million a year for the next 3 years. And that way, you know, at least you're only losing that much for 3 years, as opposed to like the Bradley Beal deal where you're losing $20 million for five. Not easy.
We'll come back. We've got a lot more to talk to James Hamm about, including basketball tonight. The Sacramento Kings are back on the floor. Yeah, they are in Houston. It's the Kings and the Rockets tonight. Only two games this week for the Sacramento Kings, one today and one on Saturday against the Miami Heat. So we'll touch on all of that with our insider from the insiders. It's James Hamm with Dealing with KC. Here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
All right, back here with James Hamm, and the focal point of the conversation today has centered around hypothetical trades surrounding Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Paul being sent back or being sent home. And by all accounts, Chris Paul's career is over. Like, there seems to be no indication that he's going to sign with another team, and he hasn't even been cut or waived by the Los Angeles Clippers. So Chris announced, I think it was over the Thanksgiving break, this was going to be his final year. So by all outward appearances, Chris Paul has played his final game as an NBA player. One of the great point guards of our generation, for sure. Maybe a top five, I mean, probably no, maybe about it, a top five point guard of all time. I was just telling James, I had a lot of interactions with Chris Paul from probably like 2007 to maybe like 2010, 2011. He was terrific. Like, I found Chris Paul to be one of the nicest people I ever interacted with, one of the coolest people I ever interacted with. But he seems to have made a lot of workplace, I don't want to say enemies, but he seems to have made a lot of people frustrated in the workplace. So not the ending I would hope for a player the caliber of Chris Paul. With all that said, James, Kings play basketball tonight against one of Chris Paul's former teams. They play against the Houston Rockets tonight. Well, they had a couple of days off, as James is very clearly frozen. They've had a couple of days off. There's no point in me even leading into a question.
James is very... Look at that, James.
James is very frozen. He's going to unfreeze. He's not going to be happy.
I'm back.
And he's back. There's no point in asking, hey, what can we expect from Sacramento? But is there any reason to believe that maybe a couple of days of practice have done this team some good?
I mean, it can't hurt. But, you know, unless they pulled out like a stretcher and made their players taller and have longer arms. Like, look, before I get to that, the Chris Paul thing, I wouldn't be like completely shocked if Chris Paul popped back up somewhere else.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if they waive him, you know, the team, the Kings are playing tonight. They probably could use a backup point guard, and Chris Paul's played in Houston, and you know, maybe that's something that would make sense. I don't know. But yeah, he has been a great player in the league. And like, even if you watched him in preseason, like he demolished the Kings in preseason. Like he came in and he had like 9 assists in 4 minutes and was like, what in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I mean, that many assists in that many minutes, that means they scored like 18 or 20 or 25 points against you without him even really taking a shot. So I think a lot of us are like, as basketball fans, we're kind of excited not to have to deal with Chris Paul, the player, watching him on the court and just the antics. But that doesn't take away from who he is. Like, I mean, he's an all-time great. He's an absolutely incredible player.
This breakup probably hurts like another signing though, right? Like, cause if I'm Houston, I got Sengun and Amen Thompson essentially playing my point guards, my facilitators, my ball handlers, my the guys who run my organizers, if you will. You know, and given the headache that seemed to have been caused by Chris Paul in LA, that just, and like Chris Paul and Ime Udoka, yeah, that could be explosive quick. that won't take 24 games to go bad if Chris Paul says the wrong thing at the wrong time. Like that'll wind up a Shams tweet within hours.
Yeah, but I'd also point out that you're a really good team. And I think that that's part of Chris Paul's issue. It's like, hey, we're losing because we're not doing things the right way. Like, what are we doing here? And, you know, like, I think that's like, there are people in the Kings locker room that feel the same exact way. Like, we're losing and it's our fault we're losing. We're not playing basketball the right way.
Hmm.
And then there are other people who are like, I have no idea what's going on. Hmm. It's like, okay. You know, and then you have others like, here we are. Here we go again. So, there are all kinds of voices in a locker room. Some are big voices, some are little voices, but I think all of those thoughts are going through multiple players' heads when things go this poorly. And, you know, I think the Kings and the Clippers are in a very similar situation. They're both the first and second oldest team in the league. And on top of that, they're not playing well. And when you're a veteran team who's not playing well, then, hey, people get waived. People get cut. You know, I don't know what the Kings equivalent of that would be because they don't really have the option to do it. But, like, you know, if you were to go out and waive Doug McDermott tomorrow, no one would be like, oh, my gosh, you waived Doug McDermott. They would feel bad for Doug, for sure. But he's not playing, you know, so... Outside of that, I don't see another way in which the Kings could actually waive somebody to try to make this thing better. Just a tough spot to be in.
Do you guys think I guess his heyday was with the Clippers, Lob City, obviously, but do you think the way maybe the last 10 years of Chris Paul's career is gone will kind of mess with his legacy a little bit?
Nah. I understand what you're saying. OKC's in that 10 years.
Phoenix is too as well.
That's a what he did. Like, obviously, you go to the finals. What he did with Oklahoma City was pretty amazing. That was pretty incredible. I don't think so. I don't think.
Yeah, the fact he never won anything, I think that that is one of those, you know, things that hurt, that will hurt his legacy. And that every time he got to the playoffs, like, it felt like he got hurt. But also, you have to remember his role in all the stuff off the court with the Players Union.
Yeah.
And how much he's impacted the game. Because I think there are probably there's a handful of players that love him. And then there's probably a bunch of players who do not like him at all because of the policies he pushed forward. So changing the age limitation on max money deals, like, that helped out a very few people, and it hurt a ton of other people. And it just is what it is. Like, you couldn't sign a max money deal after age 34, and he got that bumped all the way back to 36 or 38. And so, like, again, that just means that a lot of your aging stars are making huge money, and they're taking away money from the lower level players in the league. And that doesn't help. And I know Steve B here in the chat says DMC hates him. Yeah, there's no love lost at all there. And Chris Paul has a way of getting under your skin like no other player. Again, Kenny, I know we talked about Dylan Brooks the other day and how Dylan Brooks can be that player who gets under your skin, but you kind of like that. Chris Paul did that with all kinds of players. And Chris Paul did a lot of unsafe things on the court that put other players at risk. And there are players that don't like him for that. Rolling around on the ground, falling down every time you shoot a 3-point shot, and then getting in someone's way and having them potentially hurt themselves trying to step around you. It is what it is, but that doesn't change the fact that he's an all-time great player, because he is. He's just a tremendous, tremendous assist guy. And, you know, I think he led the league in steals 6 times. Mm-hmm. He averages 2 steals a game for his career. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, some of his numbers are bonkers.
He was so cold. Like, he was so cold. I understand what, like, James, and I think Kyle was talking about it earlier on the Insider as well. I understand, not really enjoying seeing him play. I always love watching Chris Paul play. Like, his mind and the way he would operate on the floor as a leader, as a point guard, was just always enjoyable and fascinating to me. Like, I always enjoyed watching him play.
Yeah, I, as far as a basketball mind and a distributor, like, just incredible. Absolutely incredible. A joy to watch. I totally agree. What I'm talking about is the BS that came with it. The flopping, the falling down, the fake stuff all the time. The trying to bait young players into getting foul calls and just like, all right, bro. You know, again, that's why DeMarcus hates him. It's not because he doesn't respect his game. It's because it was all the crap that came with Chris Paul as a player. And it's frustrating. I mean, as someone who's covered the league for 16 years, I covered a lot of his career. And like, how many times did he almost get in a fight with the Sacramento King? It's like almost every year.
Or Isaiah Thomas just wanted to shake his hand.
Yeah. Yeah. And on top of that, like, DeMarcus Cousins wanted to grab him by the ankles and do like the whole smash with him, just like
too.
Bounce him off the floor. I will say this though, like, as we're wrapping up that about Chris Paul, I'll tell you, Michael Malone told me that Chris Paul's the greatest leader he ever coached, without any question, the greatest leader he ever coached. And he said that, you know, and that's a guy who was with LeBron as a young player, and like, he's like, he is unbelievable as a leader. And that's why I think when you hear this situation with the Clippers, it's like, first of all, is it you or is it him? Is it his fault that this is going on, or is it their fault this is going on? Because it sure does look like the Clippers have a bunch of problems that aren't named Chris Paul. And all of a sudden he's on his way out the door. But what exactly did he do that was wrong? You know, it's like, you can sit there and blame a guy, but if what he's saying is true and factual, and like, you have issues, then you probably should try to address those, because that guy knows a lot about being a leader and about, you know, being a very good basketball player.
Who would be the most likely player sent home from the Sacramento Kings for telling it like it is?
Russ.
Oh yeah, it would have to. That's a good, that was easy. That's
outside
a good
of Russ. Outside yeah. of Russ.
Malik.
It would be Malik, and that's because like he does let it fly. And I, you know, again, maybe that's not a good thing at this point. Like losing your cool in the locker room is not.
It truthfully, Hammer doesn't feel like there's any. You know, maybe Chris thought he was going to get through to these guys at some point. Maybe this is, you know, Chris's wake up call that he can't be a coach. Like maybe this is what he envisioned leadership to be, and it just guys don't respond to that. I think trying to find what guys respond to might be in Sacramento right now. Finding what these Kings players will respond to, that just might be a lost cause at this point. Like it could simply result in at some point they're going to have to get on the floor. They're going to have to play better than they have, and then something will start clicking for them. But I don't know if there's anything Doug could do, Russ could do, Alvin could do, Scott could do. I don't know that there's anything that those guys can do that'll change the course of the path that this season is very clearly and frustratingly on.
Yeah, I would even say that Doug Christie is probably closer to like the Chris Paul scenario here, not like getting fired. I mean, I haven't heard any of that, but like it's really, really difficult to be a leader or to try to work with an old group of players. With a group that already believes that, number one, a lot of them feel like their legacy is cemented. A lot of them feel like they've been doing this so long, they know more than you. You know, even though he's a guy who was a player who became a coach, there are guys that probably look at him and go, well, you were a player, but you weren't as good as I was. And so you have this whole element here of, you know, like, trying to right a ship with a bunch of veterans is just really difficult, you know, and it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, again, you know, like leading as trying to lead as a player or try to lead as a coach. If the guys around you aren't receptive to what your message is, it makes it really difficult. And that's why, you know, I think the part of the frustrating thing for Doug is you see his team respond and be that the team that he wants it to be. And then they go away from that. So they can respond. They can beat Denver. They can beat Minnesota somehow. And then they can come back and lose to three teams that aren't nearly as good as those two teams. Mm. And so there's this level of frustration. And then the other thing I'll point out, I think last game was like a microcosm for this season. Like your starting five were horrible. Straight up. They were so bad, you couldn't put them on the floor. You took them off the floor, put in a group of young players, and they got you right back in the game. The second you went back to the starters, they sunk you again. You go back to the young players, they bring you right back in the game. And it's, if you're a coach, you're looking around and saying, so it's not my message. It's not my plans. It's you. You, the player. You, the group of players that aren't getting it and aren't buying in or aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's not the whole thing. It's some of you that are a problem. And that's a really difficult thing to deal with because like, are you just supposed to bench everybody? And I think a lot of people go, yes, bench everybody. It's like, okay, well that won't work. Trust me. It won't work. Like it's been tried. It's, you know, again, we talked about it on the podcast last night, me and Sean and Brendan, that Dave Yeager did that one time. Like everyone said, oh, just play the young guys. Just play the young guys. He played all the young guys and got beat by like 45. Mm-hmm. And they were done 3 minutes into the game, just getting pounded. You're like, oh, that's not good. That's not what this is supposed to look like. And so, you know, like I feel like the same thing would happen here. Like you want to run five guys off the bench tonight against the Houston Rockets to open the game. Okay, that's fine. You'll appease some people and you'll lose by 35 or 40. And that's just reality.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Quality.
James, we talked, myself and Damian, we talked yesterday about this start to the Kings season and comparing it to the Clippers start of the season. And Kawhi's been in and out of the lineup. Bradley Beal was hurt. There's another guy that has been struggling with injuries. But we talk about the Kings, and, yeah, they've had some tough injuries to start the season. Like, you're missing not only two starters, and you can put Schroeder in there as well because at one point he was a starter. He hasn't played in about a week. But not only are you missing two starters, but you're missing maybe the two starters you could not afford to lose. And sometimes it's an excuse because you're making an excuse, and sometimes it's a reason, you know, as to why you're struggling. How much do you put into the Kings' struggles, the fact that they've had Sabonis and Keegan not together at all this season?
I think it's a huge, huge, huge deal. Like, I've said this the last, 2 years with Kyle. The 49ers have all kinds of great players, right? The two players that they can't live without, like, to me, it's pretty clear. It's Trent Williams and it's Fred Warner. Now, they've figured out ways to get around the Fred Warner thing, but there are players that mean so much to your franchise, and that they have to be on the court. They have to be on the field. Now, we can disagree all we want about the level.
That's five, ladies and gentlemen. That's 5 seconds. We can disagree on the level, but that is the second freeze of the day. James is going to be hot when he unfreezes. This has been a tough day for the internet. It started with Kyle at home. Personally, I blame him. I absolutely blame Kyle Mattson and his stupid little home connection. It infected Jake out at Shady Pines retirement home in Connecticut. The only true professional left in the game is the one who was trying to sell me $750 lingerie, and that's Trista Crick. Flawless internet connection, beautiful camera. James is furious right now. A bourbon glass probably went flying across the handbar.
The Dwight Clark book just got ripped off.
He is upset, and now it's just gone. Man, what a day. What a
and it makes
day.
Us laugh every time.
Every time. I say this all the time. The only person who doesn't find this funny is James. James is a professional. He does not think this is funny. Meanwhile, we can't stop laughing. That's fine. James was probably about to make the greatest point in the history of Sacramento radio.
I know.
And we see? But I tell you, he's not happy. James, just blame Kyle. We haven't had internet connections in God knows how long, but Kyle's COVID internet infected all of us, and now we're just trying to make it through the next 10 minutes, man. That's all we're trying to do.
He ruined it for everyone.
That's what he did.
Yeah. Anyway, to get back to the point I was making, because I know exactly where I lost my way there. Look, the most important two players coming into this season for the Sacramento Kings, and again, we can disagree or agree on their level of play or whatever, it was Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. You traded your backup center and brought in a 6'9" guy, that you had to supplement with another guy that you signed off the street at the beginning of the season in Precious Achiuwa. Again, Keegan Murray is the only guy who is a 3-4 combo that can play both positions and switch. And he's your best defensive player and one of your better offensive players. And, you know, at this point we're seeing the value of Keegan. The fact that you haven't had either one of you haven't had both of them together, it's just such a bummer. And you know what? I'll say this though, I have not once heard anyone within the coaching staff or the front office say, "Man, if we just had Keegan and Domas the whole season, this thing would have been totally different." Mm-hmm. I haven't heard them use it as an excuse at all. It's a reality
they know better.
To the game.
probably. It would be a little bit different though, wouldn't it, Hammer?
Yeah, it would be different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how different, but that stretch where they lost the three games out of four by 30 plus, those things happen because the weight of the world is on top of you and you lose your way and you lose your spirit because you keep losing the same exact way or finding new ways to lose. And then all of a sudden it snowballs on you and you just get trounced a couple of games, you know? Mm. Like the mental lapse in the NBA, one little mental lapse can cost you a 5-game stretch. And so I think that we wouldn't have been in this negative space that we're in. And that negative space clearly led to additional losses. Now, I don't know what to make of this team when they come out and they beat good teams and they lose to bad teams. But it's just unacceptable. And, you know, that the effort at home sometimes has been unacceptable. Just the general vibe around the team has just been unacceptable. And so I'd like to tell you that they would be just like a 500 team if they had those guys to start the season. But I told everybody at the beginning of the season, before we knew that Domas would be hurt and before we knew that Keegan was hurt, that 5-14 in the first 19 games was totally on the table. And that's exactly what they did. They went 5-14 and then lost two more after that.
And your opponent tonight is 13-5. Well. And on a short list of favorites to compete for an NBA championship or compete with the Oklahoma City Thunder for an NBA championship. Oh, by the way, the opponent you have on Saturday is 14-7 as it stands right now.
Okay. I was trying to look at – let me see if I can pull this up in time. Give me a second. We're getting there.
Hey. Rockets back home off a road trip. First game back.
Boy.
Things are looking up for the Kings.
You know what that
things
means.
Things are looking up for the Kings. Let's go.
You know
just
what
wait
that
till
means.
Saturday, though, the Kings are flying tonight to Houston, from Houston to Orlando, to Miami. They will spend tonight, tomorrow night, Friday night, Saturday night, in Miami.
Is there an NBA statistic for spending too many days in Miami? Oh, you got a Miami stat?
Miami is also coming off the road at home to take on the Kings. Miami,
yeah, good for them. They're not partying in their home city.
Miami played the Kings in the midst of. I know we're short on time. I think this is 6 straight road games, and the Kings' home game is in between.
They're at Dallas, at Orlando, home Kings, at Orlando, at Brooklyn, at Boston, at Knicks.
Well, I guess being bookended by the Orlando game isn't too crazy.
Yeah.
As you said, it's Orlando right and then the Knicks?
No. It's Orlando, Kings, Orlando.
Oh.
Then the Nets.
Still. In Brooklyn.
Boston, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nets, Boston, Knicks.
Hmm.
Just came home real quick.
Schedule maker is fascinating.
Came home to play a Kings group that's just been hanging out in South Beach for a week.
Well, yeah. The good news is it's like being in Vegas too long. Maybe they'll be in Miami too long. And by the time it's like Friday, they're like, man, we've been here. They're like, all right, man, we got it all out of our system. Let's just play basketball. The tricky ones are, hey, we're only here for a day, because then you just wild out.
I don't know if that's the tricky one, because the game's Saturday.
Mm.
That means you got Friday night in South Beach.
That's true.
Friday night in South Beach usually ends at 7 a.m.
That's true. Good point.
So,
good point. Well,
good luck to those guys.
Well, yeah.
It's an 8 o'clock game, it looks like, on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Fine with me. 5 o'clock start. Yeah. We're good.
I was saying they got time to sleep it off. 8 o'clock game.
Well, that's. Yeah.
They got time to sleep it off.
Well, yes. Can you imagine if Doug says, all right, boys, no shoot around tomorrow. Good news is I don't think there's a single marquee game in the league tonight. San Antonio and Orlando at 4 o'clock. That might be something we're tapping into.
Yeah.
Outside of that, man, I guess we'll just be locked in. Detroit at Milwaukee will certainly have to tap into the Bucks commentary for that one.
Worldwide Wope said, awkward.
Yeah, just a smidge bit. But either way, we'll be with you tomorrow morning beginning at 10 a.m. With the insiders to recap it all here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, yes, still light the beam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.